We have a lot of music news coming your way. This is BHL's Next.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live Next.
As long as we are living in captivity, as long as we are free, things are never gonna be the way they're supposed to be. No. I said as long as we.
This is such like a good Sunday vibe right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Purpose to man up, hey. Challenge your trajectory. You need to start buying land up. Purchase prices, possessions, instead of the propaganda.
Okay.
What? Okay.
Okay, Rome. What's up?
You already know.
I heard it.
Yeah.
Guys, this is BHL's Next. I'm your host, Raylan T. And thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday. I'm here with Realm Diggy. What's good?
Oh, man, you already know. It's Buckeye City representing Numbro Uno. We here.
Thanks so much for coming today. I can't wait to dive into your story to let everybody know about you and what you got going on. So, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio,
born
right?
Born and raised, yes.
So, that means we're going to get into Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a Browns fan, too?
All the way.
Yeah?
Anything Ohio. I don't care what it is. We playing checkers in Ohio. Whatever the sport is, it's Ohio.
It's Ohio
it.
all day.
All day.
Okay. I feel it. So, give me a little bit about your story. I know, understand that you were in school in fourth grade,
mm-hmm.
and your teacher knew that you just had this ability to just write incredibly.
Well, we were given an assignment, and like usual, I waited to like the last minute to write the story. Like, it gave us like a week to write a story, and I waited like the night before, and I just wrote something real fast, like 20 minutes, and turned it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then that following Monday, he came to me and was like, who wrote this for you? And I said, I wrote it. No, he said, no. What adult wrote this story for you? You couldn't have wrote it. And I'm like, no, I wrote it. And he entered it into like five different contests, and I came in like third place in like three of them.
Wow.
And he told me, he's like, man, don't never put the pen down. So since then, I always wrote. But ever since then, I knew that, I just started writing stories. Stories that didn't even make sense. I just kept writing and writing and writing.
And then how did you translate these stories into music?
Life. You know, my name is Realm, and it's short for realism, so I don't stray from the path of being real. And I can't write about nothing I really don't know. I mean, I could write your story for you, but it wouldn't sound as good as if it came from me, if it was my story. You know what I mean? So my stories come out more passionate and more heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome. So then 2003.
Oh, man. 2003. We was, okay. So
take me to 2003 when you heard this song on the radio.
All right. Before we get to that part, I wrote that song, Welcome to Buckeye City, just representing my city. And it was underground. And, we was me and my manager, rest in peace, Derek Goins, and my other partner, Keelan Cates, Big Cates, what up? We was in New York at the bodegas, and we found our instrumental for Welcome to New York City, and it was Jay-Z and Cam'ron's instrumental. So I was like, oh, man, I'm about to rep my city on this. And we couldn't come up with a name for it because everything sounded garbage. What you going to call it? The Capital City? Welcome to the Capital City? Welcome to our city? I was like, nah. So we on the plane, and I'm half asleep, and he tapped me, and he was like, what you going to call the song? And I didn't open my eyes. I said, Welcome to Buckeye City. And like 3 seconds later, we both stood up on the plane like, I think you
this
did it.
It.
I was like, I think I did it too. So, you know, went home. I wrote the song. I wrote the first two verses. And then I called my little brother, Diamond, and told him to get on the third verse.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a third verse, and he's straight gangster. So the third verse, he was killing everything. I mean, the verse was tight, but so my manager was like, yo, that verse is tight, but we're going to push it to the side. So now talk about the football team on your third verse. Mm-hmm. Since I repped the city all the way in the first two verses, third verse, repped the football team. I repped the football team. Wrote that song when we was 2-0. We ended up winning the national championship that year. That song was number one on the radio station for like 6 months. I was beating Snoop. I was beating Dre. I was beating Tupac. I was beating Eminem. Everybody like underground. Like I had the number one and number two song on the radio. It was sick. I literally was getting tired of hearing my own song on the radio. Like I'm not even joking. It was like, it was so much. I'm like, man, like I could leave the house right now. The song will be on the radio. Get to the store, somebody like, pull up, it's playing. Get to where I'm going, it's playing. I'm like, you playing the CD? They're like, no, it's the radio. I'm like, wow.
That's awesome. Yeah, so what do you love the most about Ohio? You know, people live in these cities, and they probably don't have as much love as you do for your city. So what's so special to you about Ohio?
You know, it's just where I'm from. You know what I mean? And it's like, and where I'm from, we not only is it a college town, you know, it's the capital of Ohio, and we, being from Ohio, if you meet anybody from Ohio, you're going to know they're from Ohio, because it's just, that's just what it is, you know, the heart of it all, that's our slogan for a reason, it's the heart of it all, so, you know, we ride or die Ohio.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's one thing that Ohio has that LA doesn't?
Grippo's potato chips. Yeah.
You have to put me on. What is Grippo's potato chips? It's like the best potato.
Yes. You can only find them in Columbus, Ohio, too.
Really? Yeah.
Well, no, you might find them elsewhere in Ohio, but you go to Columbus, Ohio.
But you're definitely
some
not finding them out here.
Nah. And White Castles. They say it's a White Castle somewhere out here, but you can't find White Castle.
We don't have White Castle out here. Dang, so we missing out on Grippo's potato chips, LA people. We got to go to Ohio and cop those ASAP immediately. So then I also want to tap into, you know, you becoming this a musician, and you did have a traumatic experience happen to you where I know your manager was murdered.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how you were still able to push through and, you know, pursue your dreams? Because that is something that, you know, is definitely devastating, especially with having someone close to you, helping you, you know, come into your own.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's still hard to this day, you know, to the way I went, the way it all went down. And for me, it was, I was out here in California, and he was getting married. So I flew home to Ohio to go to his wedding. And he had been with his wife to be prior to them getting married, since they were like 15 or 16
like high
years
school
old.
Students,
so yeah, so they were together forever. And then for me to fly home, and then 3 weeks after he said I do to his wife, he was murdered. And the way it all happened for me, like I was the last person to see him alive because I was leaving the studio. Mm-hmm. And it was a situation where everybody knows when I'm home in Ohio, if I'm at home, I'm in the studio. You don't even have to call me. You know I'm in the studio. So that day, I just so happened to have to leave the studio to go get a rental car at that particular time, because my son's mother was coming in town the next day. So for me to leave, and then when I come back, you know, I'm driving down the street, and we lived in these condos where the studios was, and all the condos look the same. So when I'm pulling up, I see yellow tape and the police, and I'm like, is that our condo? I'm like, nah, it can't be our condo, you know? So when I pull up, I'm like, it is our condo. So I had my blinker on. I took my blinker off, and I'm going straight. The cop pulled me over. Now, at this time, I didn't have a driver's license. I had probably had a warrant for my arrest for driving with no driver's license in Ohio, but I'm living in California at the same time. So when the cop pulled me over, I'm kind of nervous. He's like, why are you nervous? I'm like, you really want to know? I said, because. He said, yeah. I said, because I don't have a driver's license, and if you run my ID, you're probably going to take me to jail. I've never seen this cop before in my life. And he said, Realm. He said my stage name. He said, Realm. That's the furthest thing from my mind right now. So now I'm comfortable. Like, okay, cool. You know, local celebrity, whatever.
Yeah.
I give him my ID. And he was like, what are you doing back there? I'm like, I'm visiting a friend. You know, it's none of his business where I'm going.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what's going on? And he said, it's been a shooting. I said, sir, I live right there. And he said, you live right where? I said, I live right there. So he got me out the car, and he grabbed me by my arm. He's walking me, took me under the tape. He said, where you live at? I'm like, right here where the lights on. We keep walking where the lights on. He asked me again, because we're getting closer. He said, where do you live at? I'm like, well, I live right here. And my manager laying right there on the floor in the grass. And in my mind, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, D, get up. The police are here. Like, I know he's not playing, though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to see him just laying there was like, so the cops was like, you know, we didn't know who he was. And, you know, he's been here for a minute. So, and then I had to call his wife. I had to, you know, I had to call everybody, and that phone call was like, that still haunts me, to, you know, because I could hear in her voice, Realm, stop playing. And I'm like, I can't play like that, you know what I mean? And
I think it's like even worse, I think, for you to go through that and then have to hear that they're potentially looking at you as a suspect.
They wasn't looking at me as a suspect. Well, they were because, you know, I was the last person to see him alive and the first person on the scene, so they had to do their investigation. Yeah. But for the streets to point their fingers at me was real hard for me because I'm thinking, I'm like, y'all know how much D loved me. You know how much I love D. That was my brother. Like, how can you look at me like that, you know? But now, hindsight 50-50, I remember, you know, when they put me in the back of the police van, and then thousands of people start showing up, and I'm the only one leaving off the scene in the police van. So they put together their own story.
Yeah.
And at that time, our record label, Raw Footage, was one of the biggest record labels in Ohio at that time because of my song. And then it was a so-called fake beef going on between us and Mean Mug Records with the streets put together, in which it really wasn't no, because those are my brothers, you know what I mean? And it was going to be a time where we all worked together. But so they put together that story saying that I wanted to leave my manager and I set him up and this, that, and the third. And it was like, it was disgusting feeling that, you know, even people that were family of his that knew me
didn't even want to sit
next to me at the funeral. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, it was that, you know, that feeling, like I had to walk around with that, you know, like couldn't even mourn right with the homies, you know what I mean? Because everybody, like, you know, mad at me, but not saying they're mad at me because I still got to be there. And they want to point the finger, but they wasn't there. But they're only going by what the streets were saying. And I still, by the grace of God, had to stay there and stick it out because God, no, I didn't do that. Yeah. And I didn't even have the energy at that time to debate.
Yeah.
You know, like, get out of here with that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're mad at me or you feel some type of way, you feel that way, handle your business because I don't even have the energy. I'm trying to mourn my brother, my best friend. And if you think that about me, that's sick of you because you really didn't know D then if you think that about me.
Yeah. But eventually, the right person was convicted.
They knew the day after, supposedly, because it was some other kind of setup. And I didn't even know these people. You know, I'm living in California and back and forth to Ohio, so I didn't even know what was going on. But they still had to do their investigation. So from November until January, I guess it was when they caught the people, that still was still firing around that, you know, I had something to do with it. And I'm like, you know, like I said, I didn't have the energy and don't even have the energy to entertain anything like that, you know what I mean? Because I was my brother, man, and everybody knows. If they knew D, they already know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You know, a lot of times when you have a tragedy in your life, I feel as though, you know, everything happens for a reason. God puts these obstacles in your way to help you learn from something or, you know, find a bigger picture. So was there anything that moment taught you or you learned from experiencing that?
Yeah, it taught me that at any moment, this could be over. Because my manager, rest in peace, Derek Goins, didn't have an enemy. So for him to leave like that, it let me know, like, anybody. Like, nobody's left off the list. Especially, you know, when it comes with street violence or somebody else hating or you don't know. Like I said, everybody has a mind, but you can't read nobody's.
Exactly.
So you don't know what the next person is thinking. So, and for that to come out like that, yeah, like, you don't know. You really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that did it didn't even know where my manager stayed, but it was sick. It was, yeah. But like I said, that taught me a lesson that nobody's left off.
Yeah. And so with moving forward, you know, you fueled all this into your music. So, you know, what kept you to keep going after experiencing that too?
One, I don't know how to quit.
Yeah.
And two, I owe it to my manager. I owe it to my children. I owe it to his daughter. Because to be putting in this much work, this amount of time, and to give up will be a slap in the face to them. Like, hold on, you made us, you know what I mean, wait for you and watch you do all that for this? Nah. So, nah, I don't know. And I know what I know. When you know, you just know. So it's like I said, I never had an off switch. I mean, I've had potholes and life situations happen, you know, and you know, big downfalls and you know, but like I said, an off switch, I don't have one when it comes to trying to get what I want.
Yeah. And I know that's one thing that you try to preach to your listeners is the sense of self.
Exactly.
And, you know, knowing who you are. So how do you do that in the studio? Like, how do you come up with the right way to teach this to your audience?
Through music, I don't.
Like, how do you like put together a song? Like, what, like when you want to go into the studio, like what's your zone? What's the zone of Realm?
Realm has his own zone. I don't like to go into the studio and write. That process takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my own space. I get a track, I put it on, and mm-hmm. I listen to it until the track tells me what to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people just get on a track and say, I'm going to write about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they write about it, and a lot of people, and it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But when me and the track mesh, it's a beautiful thing because mm-hmm. it's like I become an instrument on the track too. Even though my voice is the loudest thing you hear,
mm-hmm.
it's I'm still in sync with what the track is saying all the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I also hear that you're trying to work with LeBron.
Yes,
big
I am.
Big homie LeBron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's big going
homie.
On with that?
We got some things going on with some people connecting some things. So
yeah.
I really want to speak too much about it, but
like, be looking out
yeah,
for it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be looking out for it. Be looking out for it.
Well, Realm, you also are going to be my co-host as we dive into some hot topics. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So speaking of LeBron, he did sit down with Drake this week. We saw on HBO a sports documentary. But another thing, too, with Drake, speaking of him, is that he's had this Scorpion tour that he's been doing. He added, I think, about like 5 more shows to L.A. So he's going to be in L.A. for a while. So he had one on Friday and then another yesterday, but the first show in Staples Center, he brought out Chris Brown, which is big because for a long time a lot of people thought that they were beefing, mm-hmm. you know. So we do have footage of it, guys. This is insane. Drake is making up with a lot of people. We got Meek Mill and now we got Chris Brown. So let's take a look at when Chris Brown came out for Drake's concert.
I'd like to share the stage with this man in LA. I hope you motherfucking enjoy it. Let's go.
Ah, that's a good look.
Hey, it's really easy. That's right.
Hey. I burned down a Drake freestyle to one of his beats, and I took oh man, murdered it.
I believe it.
Murdered.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like it's time for all these long term beefs to be squashed.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's especially when it turns into off the track, because I'm all the way down for a verbal battle. Like that's the era. That's what hip hop is. You know
Definitely.
What I mean? Like. We can sit here and have a debate lyrically, bar for bar, and at the end of the day, shake
so
my hand and go, because
other.
It's like football, it's like basketball, it's any sport, it's just, we just using our vocals.
Mm.
And who's stronger, you know what I mean? Who can get the crowd
to
ooh and the eye, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you're selling words, right? So what's the point? We're just going at each other with words. Let's just strengthen ourselves too, because it's like, okay, I know his skill level, I know his skill set. He knows my skill set, so I got to come in a different angle. I got to do something. But, you know, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so guys, maybe a collab with Drake and Chris Brown. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm here for it. Speaking of hip-hop and what hip-hop was based on, Hulu is now coming out with this scripted series about Wu-Tang Clan. It's Wu-Tang, an American Saga. It's going to be a 10-episode scripted series, and RZA's going to be writing it. It's going to be produced alongside with Method Man and also The Estate of Old Dirty Bastard. So are you here for this?
Of course.
Yeah?
Of course. I am a 36 Chamber member. You know, come on now. When Method first dropped, it was pandemonium.
Who are your hip hop influences?
First of all, Redman.
Redman.
Reggie Noble. That's my favorite rapper. Reggie Noble. I would say Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Realm Diggy. Biggie.
Mm.
You know, cast that Slick Rick. Of course, Slick Rick. Even though Slick Rick, we have, and I ain't even going to go into that. We almost had an altercation one day, but it was crazy. It was crazy.
What?
Yeah, me and Slick Rick. It was, it was at a show in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
and it was the Lyricist Lounge show, and this barber, she gave me the flyer, like, you should go to this show. I'm like, okay, yeah, Slick Rick performing, but then I seen this, that opening act was the Lone Catalyst. I'm like, those are my first producers, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. So I promised. The whole week, I put that flyer in one of those stand-up mirrors in the corner, and I was battling the flyer, right? Yeah. So I get to the show. The Lone Catalyst is on stage. They're in Milwaukee. They see me. Of course, they going to pull me on stage. They pull me on stage. They give me the microphone during one of their songs, and I killed the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have went off stage. But when I went off stage, and Slick Rick started performing, I went around to the side and told my homies, I said, hey, yo, go tell Slick Rick I want to battle. They was like, no, we're not going to tell Slick Rick you want to battle him. I said, all right, I'll tell him myself. So I walked around to the front of the show, and while Slick Rick is rapping, I'm spitting every bar of his word for word. I'm the hypest thing in there. I'm jumping. But every time he look at me, I look like I got a mic in my hand. I'm like, yo. So he stopped the concert. He said, yo, what's going on? I said, I want to battle. He said, you want to what? I said, I want to battle. The whole crowd went bananas. So I'm like, he said, okay, after the show, I'm going to let you get your shine. Man, listen. I started levitating. I had so much energy. So so this was at the time when I used to drink. I don't drink anymore, but this was around the time I used to drink. Shots was coming from everywhere.
What drink of choice?
I was on that Henny straight.
I know.
They was coming in shot glasses this big. So...
And you was ready.
Ready.
Juiced. Okay.
He walked off stage. I ran up to him. I gave him a big hug. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yo, so what's up with the battle? He looked at me and said, you still want a battle? So I hit him with a bar from his album that he just dropped. I said, you said if a nigga want to eat, you better not ever cry battle. He was like, booyaka, and swung at me. His manager had to grab him and take him up out of there.
You're kidding.
I'm like, whoa. I mean, he had on every ring and everything. But listen, had he let me battle him,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't have said anything after I was done because I would have paid so much homage to who he was. He thought I was going to battle him. I really wanted to battle him. But when I went over into my corner, it hit me like, you know who that is? That's where you get your style from.
Yeah.
Don't disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you snuck your way in. Now let him know what it is. I was going to let him know exactly where the penmanship came from. But it turned into that. But, you know.
Dang, but that's a legendary story, though.
Yeah, it is.
You can always say that.
I have a lot of stories like that. From Dr. Dre, from Slick, from the DOC. A lot of, my drive, my journey has been thick, been crazy.
I also see that it stems from just a lot of confidence and sense of self that you really truly believe in yourself.
Exactly.
So that's why you just go hard for yourself. And nobody's going to advocate for you better than
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody wants it from me more than me.
Exactly. That's awesome.
And if you do, I will give you a job. Come on, for real.
So you have this Wu-Tang series is in the works, so hopefully it'll be coming soon. But it's going to take place in, like, you know, early 90s in New York with the, height of the crack cocaine epidemic. So it's going to be an interesting story, interesting ride. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. I can't wait myself.
So, Rome, what's up? What's up and coming for you? I see you got these hats. Let us know about these hats.
Yeah. We got the hats right here. Keep making the Buckeyes great. You feel me?
Yes.
You can go to my website, realmdiggy.com. We got the merch on there. We got t-shirts. I'm a Buckeye for the single. My single just dropped. Not just dropped, like a month and a half ago it dropped. It's doing real good, but we need to get it up there.
Check it out.
Yeah,
and it's on all the streaming platforms.
Streaming everywhere.
What else is up and coming for you? Any shows that
I got a show
you can check out?
November 10th in Long Beach. It's if you follow me at Realm Diggy and at Realm Diggy 1, you can I will put the location up here real soon. But the date is November 10th. And what else we got? It's a couple things else going on. Oh, yeah, the Ohio Hip Hop Awards. I'm one of the, I'm giving away an award and performing two songs at the Ohio Hip Hop Awards in November. Yeah, so yeah, that's going to be big.
Okay,
too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I actually had an artist last week,
mm-hmm.
Jamie. She's nominated for Best Hip Hop. Actually, no, R&B. Yeah, in Ohio. See, she's nominated. Yeah. So you guys have a lot of music coming out from there.
Listen, I was just at
She was saying that she likes the vibe. She's from L.A. and she moved to Ohio. Okay. And that's where she is now.
Yeah. I was
Jamie Shea,
at the American, the AMA after party and talking to a guy and he was like, where you from? I'm like, Ohio. He was like, you guys have a music scene in Ohio?
I hear that you guys, the music scene lit in Ohio.
Knock it off. Oh, yeah. This is the beginning of the takeoff. I mean, we always been here if you do your research.
It's just
that we haven't had the buzz, the spotlight like everybody else. But yeah, it's coming. Keep your cable on. You're going to see us at the Grammys real soon. You feel me?
Okay, Ohio. So, Realm, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm so glad
everybody got to hear your story and know what you're about.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So, make sure you guys follow Realm. Let them know one more time where they can check you out.
Yeah, the name is Realm Diggy. That's RELMDIGGIE. You can find me at Realm Diggy and at Realm Diggy 1. Yeah. And realmdiggy.com, you feel me? If you need to send an email, realmdiggy@yahoo.com. I'm trying to get at me for the show booking.
And keep an eye out for November 10th location so y'all can go see him perform, okay?
You will see me.
Y'all know you ain't got nothing to do on that day.
Rare form. You better be there.
Gotta be there.
Yeah.
Guys, it's your girl, Raylan T. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raylan Taren. And I will see you guys next Sunday. Be sure to catch all things BHL at BHL Online. Bye.
BlackHollywoodLive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or email us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live. Tip me on Instagram at TXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.